Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
So, what just happened? We know that yesterday, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell came up with his version of a Hail Mary pass, a proposal to give the president the power to increase the amount of government borrowing, the debt ceiling, bypassing these tortured congressional negotiations. Under the deal, the president could increase borrowing by $2.4 trillion as long as he also submits a plan on how he would cut spending by a larger amount. So is this a Republican leader winning a political round by saddling the president with a legacy of raising the debt ceiling? Or is this Republicans caving to pressure from the White House and now having to face the ire of members of the Tea Party who don't want the debt ceiling raised no matter who does it? Or is it something else entirely? Gail Chadwick is senior congressional correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor. Gail, what is this?
Well, that's the wonderful thing about this plan. It is so unexpected and complex that people are still studying it to figure out what exactly it does do. I mean, we know right away that it gives the president an expedited procedure. It still requires a response from Congress, but it isn't an approval. It's whether Congress can mount enough votes to disapprove of it. It's a kind of double negative here. So instead of the typical supermajority to approve something, you need a supermajority to disapprove it.
Right. Well, also, that little part about requiring that, of course, President Obama would want to raise the debt ceiling. He and his Treasury Secretary feel, and many analysts feel, it would be catastrophic if he doesn't on August 2nd. But it would also require him to list how he would cut spending by a larger amount. What's the significance of that?
Very critical. Republicans, ever since the Ryan budget was released to tremendous attack from Democrats, Republicans have said, okay, let's see your plan for reducing trillions in spending or increasing trillions in taxes. Either way, someone is going to be angry at it, but the president has yet to say what he would do. He just says it's there. For many conservatives, it's enough to force the president's hand, so at least we have a program out there that they can talk about.
Yeah.
It's a big step for Republicans if we could get the Democrats to commit in writing to what the cuts are.
Yeah, he's been broadly saying there have to be cuts, there have to be painful cuts to entitlement programs, but hasn't said what they are. But what does any of this mean? Because you and others note these proposed cuts wouldn't kick in for years. By that time, there will be new people in Congress. And you remind us, too, that during President Bush's time in office, his budgets were put together with the presumption that his tax cuts, particularly for the very wealthy, would expire. But they never expired.
Well, this is the joy of trying to do anything in advance. One Congress really can't commit another one. And that's what we've seen over and over in this budget process, that inevitably the cuts are in the out years, but the Congresses in the out years, even if it's the same people, don't agree to it. So things like the doc fix that would lower payments for doctors that treat Medicare patients, that's been in there looking like it's reducing deficits and overruled by the Congress year after year after year. Same thing with the alternative minimum tax. Same thing with the Bush tax cuts, as you say, due to expire, counted every year as part of reducing the deficit, and every time it comes up, Congress backs off. In the end, all you can count on is the commitment of a particular Congress at a particular time to make tough decisions.
So what happens now, Gail Chadwick? We know there's a meeting again today, I think 4 p.m. East Coast time. What's the sense? You said people are still poring over this proposal. What's the sense of what happens now? And what's the mood?
Well, to everyone's surprise, there is beginning to be some support for this because it does satisfy some urgent things for different people. For the president, no, he gets over default. For Speaker Boehner, he can stay as Speaker without ever having to accept or appear to have accepted tax increases. No Republican is going to have to vote to increase this debt limit. It will only take basically a third of the House and a third of the Senate, you know, 34 senators, not the typical 60.
Well, and just briefly, Gail, you say there's a little feeling of panic happening.
panickist right. I think when the president on Monday said that he wasn't going to be able to pay Social Security, that was an important moment. You know, there's an interesting website I think we've talked about before on bipartisanpolicy.org that lists the Treasury cash flow day by day. And on August 3rd, the day after the country runs out of borrowing capacity, it's expected to take in about $12 billion in revenues with $32 billion in committed spending, including all those Social Security checks.
Well,
can't do it.
Well, in fact, we're going to have that website at oursherenow.org, and you can see for yourself the bills that have to be paid, the money that's coming in, and you can play with it and decide what you wouldn't pay come August 2nd if the government does go into default. Gail Chadwick, Senior Congressional Correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor, thanks as always.
You're welcome. Thank you.